One, two, three, clap check. Hello? A clap check, not clap my chest pump. Anyways, this is the Wallbreakers podcast. Welcome. This is George, the chemist speaking. And to my left, go.
Hi, my name is Beijing Rice.
Trying to keep a float. Go.
I'm Float Man. Hi.
There you go. Next.
I thought you were the Ukraine trying to survive, but
next.
Oh my god.
Soon. But anyways, this is Give the Horn. Next.
This is Steel Sam. What's up, people?
This is Stefan Skins and my chest hurts.
You'll be fine.
You've probably been motorboated too much.
Oh my. Oh my.
Okay. But anyways, so let's start with weekly recap.
Yeah, want to add in?
Yeah.
I will start mine because it's not very eventful.
Yeah, mine isn't very eventful.
All right, so here's my 10-minute dissertation on my week. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God. Dissertation.
No, honestly, like...
Will this be on the test?
Yeah, probably. It's going to be in my autobiography, but yeah, we can't take more than at least 2 minutes on our weekly recaps because I did the math. 5 minutes each is 25 minutes. So anyway, not very eventful this week. I failed one of my Class B written tests three
Again?
Times. But it was only the one. I passed all the other ones. Mm-hmm. It's always the one. But the thing is, if you fail one three times, they make you take all of them again. So I have to do it again. I'm not very good at studying. I hate school, but I have to do this so I can be a bus driver, because my way of learning is hands on. But I'm legally not able to do that until I pass this test.
I wonder why.
But like,
I mean, it's not like you're driving something that makes you in charge of other people's lives. It's
no, I know, but like,
please try to argue.
No, I'm not going to argue. But like, the way I see it is like, look, you can tell me all you want. You can use a tachometer to measure, you know, double clutching, whatever. But at the end of the day, I need to actually see that happen to learn it. So that's all it is.
You know? I don't need to see an atomic bomb explode in order to learn it. That's all I'm saying.
I am a surgeon.
Anyways,
that's what I hear.
Little.
Great show though. Good doctor. Great show.
Okay. Next.
He is.
Anyone else?
I almost died this week.
No, you didn't.
Shut up.
No, you fucking didn't. Go ahead. How you almost died.
I had my first anxiety attack at work. I was talking to someone on the phone. All of a sudden, my body got a hot flash. I got cold, and I started sweating. And I started shaking. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm. And then you couldn't breathe.
I couldn't breathe.
Yeah, because you panicked, and you started hyperventilating.
Yeah.
I told him, because I walked in, and when I set everything up, he was like, have you ever had an anxiety attack? I'm like, yes. Like,
it's not like he'd been telling us, right? Mm-hmm. Or to explain to us the sensation or anything. Or venting to us.
Yeah.
You're a shit listener.
I am.
Get better at it. Be a better friend.
I'm a shit.
Oh my God.
You are a terrible person.
Just lay it in. Why don't you?
Wow.
They call me scumbag Steph.
But to be fair, it's his first time having it happen to him. So I'll give him a pass on that.
But that's kind of selfish.
No, like, I know.
Listen. Real quick, I am venting right now about the flaws of my good friend here. That's what good friends do, okay?
We talk shit on each other.
Yeah, he doesn't listen. He doesn't listen until it happens to him. That's when he becomes a listener.
How you learn.
So. I do listen, just not on the small details.
No, that's fucking bullshit.
That's fucking bullshit. Be a better listener.
Okay.
Slap the shit out of you next time if I
just like John Mayer says, my body is not a wonderland.
I've never even heard that song.
Never.
Your body's a wonderland. No?
No.
Nope.
Anyways, was that it?
Yeah, that was it.
That was it?
I did my taxes this week.
Okay, go.
I did my taxes this week. Mm-hmm. 1800 coming my way.
Yeah.
And I went to go see the dog movie with Channing Tatum. He was surprisingly good in that movie.
I'm sorry, the way you worded that was, like, it's not like you actually went with Channing Tatum himself to watch Dog.
I mean, that would be a pretty cool experience. I'm not going
to
lie.
Well, yeah, but mostly I went to watch this movie with Channing Tatum, which English is interesting.
With the dog.
With the dog. Channing Tatum.
Oh, God.
But it was a good movie. Oh, that reminds me. I also recovered my pocket knife that I thought I had lost.
Oh.
I asked the movie theater, because we went to the same movie theater to go see it, right? And I asked them, do you guys by any chance have a lost and found? And they were like, yeah.
Oh.
Like, from like 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what did you lose? A pocket knife. I was like, worst comes to worst, they'll just ban me from this movie theater. Yeah. It's an AMC, so I don't really give a shit. And they were like, do you know what movie it was? I was like, it was Jackass. And they were like,
yeah. How fitting.
How fitting that I lost it in Jackass. But they did have it, so I'm glad. And it was one of my good knives, too.
Oh, I love it. Cool. Yeah. I have razor burn on my arm from shaving it with a knife. I was just messing around with my knife, and then I shaved off some hair. I'm like, oh, crap, I have to do the whole arm and the other arm.
So did I look at you like a degenerate?
No, actually, they were pretty nice about it.
Oh, okay. They're like, oh, look at this guy.
Yeah. But yeah, that was my weekly recap.
You?
When you order food over the phone, why the fuck would you need to wait in line to go pay for it? Instead of just going like, hey, I ordered food online. Yeah, sure. Here's your food. This is how much it is. Just give me your card or, you know, give me the cash and it'll be on your way. No. You got to go. You're ready to get your fucking food and they're like, no. Go waiting on a long ass line. I'm so pissed at that.
Did this happen this morning?
Oh yeah, I did.
Okay, I was like, this seems pretty specific.
It's raw right now. It's raw.
It's the lamb sauce is fucking raw.
Like, common sense. At least have someone else manning the online orders or the over the phone orders. Fuck.
I'm sorry, it's a Mexican restaurant.
No, it's an American
diner
place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was like 8 people in front of me. They're like, no, you go wait. I ordered mine online. I don't care.
I would have been like, I don't care either, and I would have just grabbed the bag and left. Fuck you guys.
God, but anyways, okay, there's that. And then I'm going to nerd out a little bit. I took my trumpet to get cleaned.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, before I have to start gigging again. Got cleaned. I actually met the guy that made my horn. Made my trumpet.
Like he hand forged it and everything?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Funny enough, as I was going to get it, I saw a guy literally run out of their store with what looked like my trumpet. And I'm like,
who had
is
it?
That mine?
Who had it? What kind of person had it?
No, it was a Mexican. But
I lie, I cheat, I steal.
Funny enough, the reason it looked like my trumpet was because the guy, what he did was he took off the bell and replaced it with the same type of bell that my trumpet's made out of.
Is the bell the big part in the front?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's the part you put your mouth on.
Motherfucker, shut up. That's a tiny bell.
The only reason why I know is because he's a trumpet player and he talks about it.
I know, dude. I'm learning it out. I was, what's it called? I came to, you know, pay for it and I said, you know, can I try it out? Because always try your shit if it's getting fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, whether it's guns, like any equipment that you use.
Guns, car, guns horn. Especially guns.
Oh yeah, but yeah, he came in the front. He's like, "Oh, who's the guy that I just, you know, cleaned his trumpet?" Mm-hmm. And then he saw that it was me. I was like, "Oh, how you doing?" We got to talking, and I found out a little bit about my trumpet. One, it was hand forged.
Nice.
They don't do that anymore. Apparently,
it will keel.
No.
Everything is mostly by machine. Even if they say they hand forged it, they use the machine.
When they say they hand forged it, typically what they mean is they put the hot metal into the case, but that's it. They don't shape it or anything.
Yeah, they use the Big Blue.
Yeah. Oh my God. You cannot use Big Blue.
Will this trumpet keel?
It will keel.
But yeah, no. It was hand forged, and the material that my trumpet was made out of was especially difficult. Because
was it like an alloy?
It was 40%. So it was rose brass, which is 40% copper, and the rest like different metals like zinc and all that to kind of make it hard. Because it was because it's such a soft metal, it's hard to actually temper and make a bell out of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was like, "Your trumpet was hard to make." And
I appreciate that.
He was. Yeah, he used to work for the company that my trumpet's from. Nice. And he was like, yeah, I made all most of the trumpets up until they closed. I was like, wow, goddamn.
Nice.
And, you know, just it was great to just get his knowledge. I'm going to take it again later on after I get a second trumpet to get lacquered and actually, you know,
make it all nice
have
and
it
pretty.
Look actually like brand new.
Like pretty.
Yeah. But the trumpets, not that they make, they feel like paperweights, really light, and almost like you can break them. It's it's not a good feeling.
Well, the problem is that with the industry is becoming more industrialized and machine-operated, the idea is that the lighter something is, the better quality is, which I'm not saying that's the case.
No, I know, but it's funny to bring that up. Yeah,
that's what everybody thinks, and I'm guessing for musicians that's not usually the case. I mean, that could be the case, but not typically.
I'll be frank. The horns now, at least the trumpets, they don't sound like how they used to back then. And it's, you know, mostly because they're just machine made now.
Which means if you want a good quality trumpet, you have to actually go find one that's handmade.
Yeah, in a sense. But it's a fun fact. The way he makes them, the technique that they use, there's only 4 people in the U.S. that know how to do it that way, and 2 of them are dead.
That's comforting.
And the other guy is in Germany.
He's running away from something that's trying to kill him.
Schlagen Strudel.
So, but yeah, that was a great little thing that happened. I was like, oh, shit, I know who made it. Now I can just, you know, take it to that
place.
And
it's like when Thor goes to meet the dwarves. You know?
You made my hammer.
I'm going to forge you a much better hammer.
Well, fuck. Okay, funny story.
that's really funny.
His daughter actually wanted to play trumpet. Mm-hmm. So what he did was he custom built a trumpet for her. Oh, engraved man. And everything. Oh. She only played it for a week.
Oh. Then it broke?
No. She was like, I don't want to play anymore.
Dang, dude!
And it was top quality. Like, he went all out on it.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, my God. Ungrateful people.
Oh, my God. Did she at least keep the darn thing? Like, as a, I don't know.
I would assume he would. Mm. I didn't ask if he kept it. I was just like, that's a sad story.
That sucks.
But he showed me what he was working on, which is a tuba. You know, we call sousaphones the ones that wrap around your shoulder. Yeah. He's making the bell out of the same material that my bell's made out of. He showed me a prototype of what he's doing. Because he's making it for, I guess, some player that wanted a custom sousa.
Yeah.
And so the valves are actually the same color as my bell. And then the rest of it's gold. And then the bell is actually going to be the same color as the valves, too. It's like an orange-ish gold.
Yeah.
With like an actual like gold. So nice. He showed me, I'm like, dude, that's
a nice
awesome.
Sousaphone.
And he does it himself. So I'm like, later on down the road, I'm like, hey, maybe you wanna custom make one for me?
You want a sousaphone?
Not a sousa, no, a trumpet.
Oh, okay.
A trumpet, I'm not a sousa. But I got lucky because I paid $900 for that trumpet during the pandemic. Pandemic was both a blessing and a curse.
That's what I always say.
But anyways, I'm done.
Cool. So should we get to the meat of the conversation?
No.
Oh, one more thing to add. I've always wanted that type of trumpet since I was a kid.
A custom made one?
No,
that's a great segue.
That's a good segue
from that company.
Oh, okay.
I was playing on a student and Yamaha. I said, you know what? I know this is kind of what I want to do. And so I heard about the company. I was looking up everything. I didn't know anything about specs or anything. Uh-huh. I just knew that's the type of trumpet I wanted. This and the way it looks is the way I wanted it. And that trumpet that I have is custom because the bell comes different. But I was like, holy shit, which is awesome because, you know, back as a kid, you know, you got all these, like, I guess, dreams and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. you know, something that you want that you can't have.
Yeah.
And now finally I have it.
That's actually a good segue.
Which, you know, comes down to our topic, yeah, which is shit that we couldn't.
Don't worry, kid. It gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at me.
So this week's topic is about shit we couldn't do as kids or we couldn't get as kids that we now can and do as adults.
For me, a voice Wonder Boy is like to break a bone.
Oh
no, I don't even want with this.
Why would you wonder that?
Well, it's like because my brother keeps getting injured all the time.
Oh, fair enough.
And I've seen other kids get injured, and I'm like, I wonder what that's like.
And then
you got more than what you asked for.
And then like magic. God was like, oh, let me paint a picture for you real quick.
Let me paint a picture for you, Latte.
Yeah, life decided to say, like, we won't just give you what you wish for. We'll give you interest.
Well, you won't just break your bone. You'll shatter it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess we can talk about this a little bit.
If by now you don't know. Go ahead.
Well, okay. So, basically.
Moving forward.
Shocker. I was in a car accident. Mm-hmm. Well, it is kind of a shocker. I'm usually careful. But what happened was it was on a Saturday, 5 p.m., August 13th.
Jeez. Day after my birthday.
Yeah. So what happened was I was riding my bike.
Or before.
Yeah, before. But I was riding my bike. Then what happened was, long story short, four-way intersection, stop sign. I was riding through. And then the car, I guess, didn't see it. I was crossing with my bike. Mm-hmm. By crossing, I mean I was riding my bike across. Mm-hmm. Car hit me hard. I did like 3 flips in 2 seconds. Almost hit my head on the pavement.
Jesus.
You know what actually saved me? You and I were wrestling. Remember when we fall? Our coach used to always say, like, always fall on right here on your forearm. That's exactly what I did. I literally, even though I was spinning, mm-hmm. all that force, I forced my arms to, I basically slammed my arms to the ground.
Yeah. Hammer fist.
Yeah. And my forearms took the impact. My leg took the impact of the car, and it was in like a Z formation, mm-hmm. right? My ankle was backwards.
Yeah,
my bone was popping out. This is my right leg, by the way.
Yes,
my bone was popping out on like the right side, mm-hmm. and paramedics were like, "Oh, we're gonna have to twist it back in place before we can take you in." They twisted it, and you heard a.
No mercy.
Right, this is when I guess realized or more conscious of the medical history, because my brother was resistant to painkillers. I found out I was very resistant too.
Yes,
because morphine didn't do shit to me. And even the doctor, I was 15 when that happened. The I don't know if it was the emergency med tech or somebody else, like a nurse, medical, I don't know. But as they're wheeling me in, they put the morphine in me. And they was like, we're going to wait until it kicks in. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of had a feeling that nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so I told the doctor to fix it. Or the medical staff to fix it.
The person who probably injected you with the morphine was an ER nurse?
Yeah.
But the person who would have set your leg would definitely have been a doctor.
Yeah. So what they did was, like, my leg was still in a Z. Uh-huh. And they hyperextended it.
Yep.
Pushed it back in.
For those of you who don't know what he means, they pulled his fucking leg.
Yeah.
They pulled his leg, and then they were like, let's fit the pieces back in the puzzle.
So they pulled my leg,
mm-hmm.
pushed it back in. And then they slapped the side of my leg twice on each side. And then they said, oh, no, it's not incorrectly. So they had to do it again.
Jesus.
But after that, like, now I have a metal leg and 2 screws. Mm-hmm. A metal leg, sorry. I have a metal rod and two screws.
He's part Terminator now, bitches.
Yeah, it's still there. Yeah.
He's part Terminator now, bitches.
And you know what's funny is like my social skills like improved a lot.
Because of that accident?
Yeah. Funny, well, yeah, because if you think about it, like life is short. You kind of realize that. And most of my life, even as a kid, like I was in my own little bubble, right? I was very isolated. As a kid.
Your bubble wasn't shattered. It was run the hell over.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The funny thing is, it didn't took a pin of life to do it. It took life to say, we'll send you a car your way.
Whether you get on or not is your business.
Here's the taxi.
So, was it a run?
No. So, I'm guessing it was an older gentleman.
Oh.
He was older, and by the way, my bike survived. Well, the handle did. The handle survived. It got a new body, so when I look, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember those flips.
How long did it take you to be able to walk again?
Probably a year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Well, like, because they had to remove most of the bone because the bone shards were actually tearing up my muscle.
Oh,
that's how bad it was. So they had to leave like a strand, like the size of my pinky, for it to grow around the metal rod.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a fun time. But anyways.
I love that he says it's a fun time.
Anyways, it gets better, kid, because I mean, it's been what, 10 years? No, 12 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be 12 years. This August is going to be 12 years.
Do you still feel that there's a metal rod in your leg?
No. I don't feel it.
No?
No.
If you feel it, there's something wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. There's something very wrong.
I mean, because remember, my bone wrapped around the metal rod, right? So if it wraps around and that's basically the center of it, like there's not really any nerves there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Exactly. I mean, he could run on that rod, so.
Yeah.
True, he could.
He dances on that rod.
Yeah, exactly. He dances on that rod. Forget running.
I see him jump, do fucking high kicks with that fucking leg. He's just part Terminator now. That's all he is.
Or no, he's Wolverine, bro.
I work in a freezer, too. I go in the freezer. I don't feel any pain there. Because I know I heard. Huh?
That could activate it.
Yeah, so apparently when it gets cold, if you had like metal, well, it wasn't really a metal replacement, but.
If you have any metal implants,
if it gets cold, that area starts hurting.
Well, yeah, right? the mouth's contracting.
Yeah, but for me, like nothing.
So like auto mail in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Yeah, essentially.
Going through an airport's gonna be a bitch, though.
Well, he automatically has to get the pat down.
Yeah.
Because it's always gonna ring on.
But don't you have any documentation saying that you do have a metal rod?
It doesn't matter.
No, I don't. All I tell them is like, if it beeps, I have a metal rod in my leg.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, okay. And then when it beeps, they just pat me down. They're like, oh, there's like nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you expecting? A fucking giant knife? The fuck?
Knowing you.
I mean, he does have one.
I think it's several.
I have several.
Well, I'm,
he named one of them kindness.
I'm at the size of your leg. That's what I'm implying.
But assuming that I have it, that's just racist.
I allegedly have a big knife.
I allegedly have. How many is it now?
I have two knives.
I allegedly have like three.
Maybe this is America, isn't it?
I don't have to answer
stupid questions
on my own property.
No, but anyways, I'm not gonna lie. When I was a kid, I was very frustrated with my own social skills.
Yeah,
I was already that self-aware about it.
Yeah,
where I'm just like, I don't know how to act. I don't know how the fuck am I supposed to get along here.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm very different. Mm-hmm. Then. After that car accident, I was like, huh, socializing doesn't seem that hard after you get hit.
It's like, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, I'm not going to get hit by a fucking car.
So here's the real question, though. How much female attention did you get?
Again, I was isolated.
Yeah, so. But you know how it is. Oh, my God, you have a cast.
Let me kiss it and make it feel better.
Did you have a cast for? I mean, obviously, I had.
Well, I did had not a cast.
A brace, right?
Yeah, I had a brace. I had a brace, and you see me with crutches going everywhere, and I was. Going,
I remember those days.
Going everywhere with those crutches, and then
simpler times.
Yeah.
Except for you, but
yeah.
Before the dark times.
Before Harambe was shot dead.
Before Harambe.
That's where all went down.
Like for me, like one, I always wonder what I would it be like to break a bone. Now I know, and more.
Jesus. Dude, that's just metal.
I had to open it with dark humor. Oh, come on. I found out it gets better. Like you obtain more knowledge.
You obtain a greater appreciation for life.
Yeah.
Just life.
And like after that, like I started giving less shits about everything.
He did. He really did.
And then like after that, like once I turned 18, like I stopped giving a shit.
Which is a good age to stop giving a shit.
Yeah. A lot of people are commenting like, hey, you look happier. I'm like, it's because I fucking hate you all and I can appreciate that. Like, you know what? This is me. I hate everyone equally. I don't love everyone equally. I can hate everyone equally.
I'm an equal opportunity hater.
Yeah.
So is it hate or is it more like apathy?
No, he hates people.
I hate people. It's just that the way I guess express it is more apathetic.
Okay.
This is real. This is me. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
And
now.
I'm supposed to be in front of that car that day, I guess.
Oh,
you gotta let the light shine on me.
Oh my God.
The headlights weren't even on key.
When you said that you were supposed to be there, reminded me of a certain someone telling you that like it was a punishment. I'm not gonna go any further, but you know, yeah. I was so mad when I heard that.
I got my story ready. Once you're done,
yeah.
Who told you? Wait, what do you mean stories? This is not supposed to be story time.
It's a story. No, my thing for the topic,
which is a story.
Yeah,
okay, let's go. Go.
You guys ready?
Well, is Joe Ren done?
Are you? Would you have more?
Yeah, just a little bit more.
Go ahead,
dude. Collectibles and games.
Collectibles and games.
Like I never got into collectibles, well, and then I think Theo Sam here gave me a Funko Pop of Anti-Venom, like for a birthday present.
Yes,
I actually got into that when I was a kid, so that doesn't apply to me.
And so, well, like the thing is, as a kid,
Mama's here.
My brother and I didn't really look into that because we had a lot more things to be preoccupied with.
Yeah.
With just like, you know, household shit and everything.
Yeah, you know, kid room, you know, with posters and colorful and shit like that. No.
Posters?
Exactly. You're part of... Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like our room looked like a minimalist's room.
Yeah.
We didn't... There was no personality in that room whatsoever.
There was no evidence that somebody lived there.
No, there was evidence. It's just there was no... there were literally no character. Like, now that you see our room, yeah, you see, like, like on my side, books. On his side, like...
Collectibles
and stuff like that. Back then, no.
Even knives, too, on my side. Yeah. I haven't had knives.
Weapons. Back then, there was no personality. Yeah. That's how we lived, to be quite honest. I mean, we didn't really have the luxury of, I guess, personalizing our stuff just because of the way our family was.
Nice.
And then we find out that, like, our parents are nerds.
Just aren't? That
are. They are. Oh. Like, my dad was into Ultraman.
Oh, shit.
And my mom was into Power Rangers.
Oh, well. Interesting.
And my mom's favorite ranger is the Red Ranger.
Oh, well.
So yeah, like, once we got older, like, even our parents kind of, like, shared within, like, our, like, journey of, like, collecting and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, even our dad, like, for Christmas, I think, or for his birthday, we got him, like, the Seasons of Ultraman Blu-ray.
Nice.
And everything.
But does he like Turbo Man?
Huh?
Does he like Turbo Man?
I don't know.
Turbo Man.
Turbo Man.
I don't. They're making Funko Pops though, or maybe they already did.
They did.
They did, right?
Yeah, they were.
I don't want the Funko Pop. I want the Amiibo. I want the action figure.
Oh my god.
I want the one from the movie.
Soy Turbo Man.
Soy Turbo Man.
But like, not only that too, like, as adults, we also go out more.
Yes.
Right? Like before, you know how kids, like, you see kids, like, hanging out in the mall and everything. Even, like, back then, like, yeah. when we were teenagers, too, like, kids our age, they would do that.
Yeah.
They'd actually hang out. You didn't have that.
No. Going out with your friends alone to the mall? What the hell is that?
Yeah.
You gotta have mom chaperone you.
Yeah. Oh,
my mom.
Or your dad never lets you go.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Because it's like, I want to keep an eye on you kind of thing. But, like, even then, like I said, like, as at least for me, I didn't realize how fun it was going out until grad night when I was 18. That was the only time I realized how fun going out is. Mm-hmm. But, like, other than that, like, I never knew what going out was. Mm-hmm. And then now I know. I have my own car. I pay for my own gas and everything. And we can go. I can go to fucking Laguna Beach at night. That's the awesome thing too.
You stole mine.
Yeah. but yeah. When it gets better, like it does get better.
Yeah.
Like there's more responsibility, but like that. It's funny how the more freedom you have, the more responsibility you have.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a proportionality to it, where.
Well, I mean, it's not just that. I mean, back before we were adults, we obviously had our own little responsibilities because of our parents giving us, you know, chores or whatever the mm-hmm. situation was. But in terms of freedom, we had practically none in terms of freedom. So once we became adults, we now actually got a taste of that freedom.
Well, like, even then, like, your parents didn't learn how to let go until like a couple years after you turn 18.
Usually there's some sort of catalyst that like that has to happen. Me and my dad, first time we moved out of my parents' house in 2018,
mm-hmm.
I come home from church on a Friday night and my dad's like, your hair's getting too long. You need to cut it. If you don't, I'll kick you out in a week. And my dad has done petty threats like that before.
Yeah.
But this is the time I was like, oh, okay. You give me 7 days? Moved out 6 days later.
Yeah.
Right. And I ended up moving back in with them 6 months later. But when I moved back in with them, I was thinking a little more seriously. It's like, okay, he's actually willing to
leave.
Make good. Yeah. He's willing to make good on a promise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you give him the option, he will take the option that he wants and he can't change him. And so my dad has been silent about my hair. But I deep down, I could, you know, he still doesn't like it.
Yeah, of course.
My mom has warmed up to it, funnily enough, because I used to not put my hair in a ponytail because I thought that would make me look more like a woman. You know, not and don't get me wrong, I like the ponytail. I'm saying I should rephrase that. In front of my parents.
Yeah.
I would not put in a ponytail in front of my parents because I thought that would make me look more like a woman to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember going home one day. I forget to take off my hair tie. My mom's like, "That looks better on you." I'm like, "Thanks."
It does.
And so and honestly, look, I need to lose weight, and I need to once I like lose weight and build some muscle, I'm probably gonna wear it down more, just because it fits better than with my fat rolls.
Hi everybody, my name is John, and I'm gonna show you the ways of my people.
I'm the Peruvian Tarzan. I wish I was Samoan, but
just hair flowing in the air,
dude. I'll be like the Peruvian Tarzan or Peruvian Hercules,
and then you with a ukulele would be perfect.
Yeah.
I recommend wearing more sleeveless shirts and more like stuff around your neck.
Bailamos con el tucán.
So I already wear this necklace on my neck. Well, we're also using a necklace, but there's this thing called a chacana. So if you guys know what that is. It's a pretty cool looking symbol from the Andes, but I used to wear sleeveless shirts. I mean, you know, Joe Rennan and Sam could tell you back when I was not, when I didn't have, you know, rolls or fat on my arms. I mean, I wasn't buff, but I was pretty lean, you know. But no, I'm working on losing weight. I lost 13 pounds in I think the past month and a half or so, And I am working on building muscle at the same time as losing weight. So once I do, I'm going to go back to sleeveless shirts and wearing my hair down, because let's be real, everyone wants that Peruvian Adonis. Everyone wants that Peruvian Tarzan.
Ever thought about getting into surfing?
I would love to. Once I lose some more weight, I definitely want to try it out. Because that's so cool. I saw a picture of a guy surfing with a llama.
Do you remember that painting that I got of the Mandalorian with the Beskar surfing board?
No.
No?
I don't think you ever showed me.
It was from Laguna Beach when we went to...
We went to the art gallery. Yeah.
You should buy a pet llama and just walk it in your neighborhood.
With what space, Guillermo?
You could take it for walks.
It's not a dog. It needs somewhere to roam around.
It needs to graze.
Well, there's grass in the front where the park is. It's fine.
No, but also droppings and all that. Like, I'd rather have my own backyard with a stable for it, but there's no room.
That's gay.
With, you know, a bag, you know.
But also legally speaking, there are requirements for certain animals.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like alpacas and llamas need a certain amount of yardage. Same thing with cattle and big animals.
Would we be able to keep a llama in our backyard?
I think actually you can.
But because our backyard is big enough.
Have them just eat the weeds and stuff like that.
And then you're like, finally, the Bolivian house is complete. We have Bolivians, Bolivian music, Bolivian food. Oh, we need some Bolivian animals.
Got a point.
No, but I would love to have a llama or two.
Yeah, dude.
Now all we need is a Bolivian parasite.
Vicuñas are actually not domesticated. They're actually wild. They're not domesticated animals. The alpaca is the domesticated version of the vicuña, and then the llama is the domesticated version of the guanaco.
Wait, so which are wild and which are domesticated?
Guanaco and vicuña are wild, and the domesticated versions are llama and alpaca, respectively.
Oh, are they? What's the difference?
Size and wool.
Oh,
alpaca has softer wool, but llamas have more coarser, which means it's more warm. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's get back to the topic at hand. I'm
go ahead.
For me, it doesn't need an introduction. Gambling. I will tell you an incredible story when I first got into gambling.
Oh my god.
Wait, hold on. Before you continue,
are you still gambling now?
No. But I'm actually going to be gambling in March. Because I'm going to Vegas.
Wait, are you one of those people that will go like every year to go gamble?
No. This is my first time going in like 3 years.
Oh.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's actually not that long. Yeah.
The moment I turn 21, my mom says to me, Stefan, it's time for you to learn the birds and the bees about gambling. I want you to take you to go gambling and show you the dangers of it. So we go to the closest Morongo casino, which is like about a 45-minute drive. And she's like, here's $200. Go ahead and gamble away. Three slots. Like, literally just three times doing this, I won $7,000.
Yo, what?
What's like, so dangerous here, Mom? I just paid rent.
Like, all of a sudden, I'm just like,
I'm rich now.
Like, it's just making all these loud noises. And we were surrounded by like 40 people. They're like, oh my God, look, this guy won. I'm just like, what's going on? And my mom's like, oh my God, oh my God.
I would have been like, sorry, Mom, it's my money now.
By law, I was the one who put the coins in.
And like, after the excitement like finished, went away, paranoia sinked in. Because I noticed that everyone was looking at me. And I'm just like, why are you all looking at me?
See, that's why you gotta carry a knife with you everywhere you go.
Or have a mean look, like me.
No, that's why you make noises, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's when they start going away.
Okay. No, you have to start, your body has to move one way, but your head has to move the complete opposite direction.
So, yeah. Casinos are very sneaky. Because, like, as soon as you win the money, you turn it in. They'll be like, we'll be right back. They take about an hour.
Yeah, well, the thing is they're trying to see if you're cheating. Because there is a way to cheat at casinos.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They actually made several movies about it. The most famous one being actually called 21. Mm. It was about blackjack and this group of MIT students who scammed them. Because everything that happens in a casino, except for poker itself, is all based on statistics.
Oh.
So if you know how statistics work and you can find the probability of you winning, you can more or less make a whole lot of money at a casino.
But it was just a slot machine. I couldn't even cheat on that?
Yeah, because there, if you...
Isn't it like timing?
Not timing per se. It's calculating which slot machines overall give you the highest yield. So
Some,
like, that's what they mean when slot machines are looser than others.
Yeah.
That's what they mean, is they'll give you a winning prize more times than others. And that's what they have to go check. That's why they take so long. They check all of the security footage from the moment you stepped into the casino, everywhere you were, to the moment you sat down and started playing.
I can just imagine them, like, seeing this, like, big guy with this big, stupid, like, grin on his face just going up to a machine.
Yeah.
It's just... I'm doofy.
I'm a Jedi.
And then you're just like, oh, and I can imagine. Can you imagine if I just go to like to Vegas and I just randomly win like $2 million?
That has happened to people. That's the sad part. It has. You don't bet everything on red. You bet it on black. You dumbass.
And I'm just like, I win money. Freaking Ed.
Just imagine just walking in, sitting down, looking up randomly.
You know, they'll actually,
and then
you...
suddenly winning.
You know they won't give you the prize money for that,
huh?
You know they won't give you the prize money if you do that.
Why?
Because they think that you're scamming them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they allowed to not give you the money?
Yeah.
Under suspicion.
At that point, you could just be like, "Prove it."
Under suspicion, they don't have to.
No.
Because it's their place of business.
Yep.
All they have to say is they're not going to serve you as a customer anymore.
You can fight it.
You
but
can
like,
fight it, but it's a casino.
Yeah.
They have millions of dollars. So
like, just look like an idiot and just win.
Anyways, what was the moral of that? Keep going.
The moral of the story is gambling is dangerous. Don't ever do it.
But how does that fit into the topic of...
Oh, I couldn't do that as a kid, but I did it as an adult.
Did you have a desire to gamble as a kid?
Partially, which is why I stay away from casinos.
I never liked casinos, but that's usually because it had the smell of smoke in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So Vegas didn't do anything for me. Then as I grew up, I understood what gambling was, and I'm like, wait, there's a chance I'm going to lose all of my hard-earned money? Yeah, fuck that.
Gone.
This
I'm
is the
gone.
I actually learned this lesson while I actually almost worked as a dealer at one point. I moved in with my dad for a period of time, and I actually got a job as being a dealer at a casino. And this is one thing that they taught us there. If you go to casinos a lot to try to win, you'll always lose.
If you think you know what you're doing, you're wrong. Mm. You're wrong.
Yeah. But I'm guessing you got the $7,000?
Well, it was technically my mom's money, so I gave it to her.
Yeah, I know.
How
old were you? I was 21 at the time.
That makes sense.
Here's what I would have said. You gave me $200. I'm going to keep $1,000 of that.
She gave me $500.
Oh.
I would have been like, no. $1,000.
Rent. Bro, it's my mom's money. It's not even mine.
No, okay. Fuck you. By law,
that was your money.
If you were the one who put the coin in, that's your money.
If you put the coin in and you pulled the lever, that's your money.
All right. Well, I could give two shits, honestly.
It's fine.
Well, yeah, it happened that long ago, so yeah.
Yeah. But
$7,000. I could pay rent for a couple months with that.
I could go to school for two semesters with that.
I got upset, and the reason being, there was a movie with Ashton Kutcher and. Someone else.
That woman. Blonde.
Yeah. Whoopi Goldberg. Where,
they got married at in Vegas, and what's it called? They argued, and then she gave him a quarter and said, you know what? Here's alimony or whatever. And then he maybe go win something for all I fucking care. And then he went, he put it in a slot machine, and he won $2 million. And she's like, oh, she's like, so what am I going to get my money? He's like, what? What do you mean your money? She's like, that's my quarter. Yeah, but I put it in. And like the movie, you know, it was a lovey-dovey movie and they got together. But I actually looked it up because I was like, okay, if they argue, who would have got the money? And it turned out that he had claim to the money, not her.
Yeah.
Because he was the one that actually put it in.
Yeah.
Even though it was her quarter, per se, he's the one that put it in and won the money.
Yeah, and she
had no claim to it whatsoever.
She gave him the quarter, too.
Yeah, so it's all no longer her money.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
Also, if you make $2 million at the casino, you actually made less than that because of taxes.
Yeah, but it's only by like maybe $1.5 million is what you get after taxes.
Yeah,
but you get at least $1 million at the end of taxes.
That's fair, but what I'm saying is you don't get the full $2 million. You know, like you have to have the mindset like, yeah, I want that money, but I also have to pay taxes on it, so I shouldn't squander it right away.
I would have just been like, IRS, I just won this. How much do I owe in taxes? They're like, you owe this much.
Can you just give it to them like immediately?
You can. You can always file early.
Okay, sweet. That's always an option. All right.
Are you done?
Oh, yeah, that was it.
Okay. The one thing I always wanted as a kid that I didn't get until I was an adult. Freedom.
Stole mine.
Freedom.
Freedom!
Bagpipes in the background.
I got you.
Please do. But it was like William Wallace. It's not copyrighted. It was like William Wallace at the end of Braveheart. Are we gonna let this little bastard ruin our experience? Freedom! No.
No, that's not the right quote.
No, I know. I can't remember the whole quote.
They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom!
Wait. See that line again?
The one thing I always wanted as a child is freedom.
They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom.
Mom, then.
Fucking to McDonald's.
But yeah, I love the Scottish. I love the Scottish so much. Anyway. Literally, in every sense of the word, I never had that as a kid. Whether it was to buy my own stuff, to buy my own food, I wasn't given the free. I always had to ask permission for that. To hang out with people, to go out, just in general. It wasn't until I became an adult that I started to exercise my freedom. And finally, I took my freedom. Because here's Theo Sam's life lesson for you kids. Nobody's going to give you your freedom. You have to take it.
Yeah.
So, and it's hard as a child to exercise freedom because your parents do have say, but at the end of the day,
I brought you into this world. I can take you out.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, you have to know what's good and what's bad for you.
Emotional kid. I'll do it myself.
A sociopathic kid. Fine. We will do it. We will use the old ways.
But it's just, you know, whether it was to, out of spite and grudges, to buy collectibles that I was denied as a child, to simply being able to buy any food or treats that I wanted, now I could do those as an adult. And it gets better. Especially once you start working and you start making your own money. And you pay taxes. Guess what? Nobody can tell you a fucking thing. You spend that money. If you wanted to go spend that money on crack cocaine, you fucking do it. I do not endorse drug use, but I do endorse your freedoms.
I'm not allowed to smoke weed unless I move out.
You're would not, you actually though?
No. You're not allowed to smoke weed and get caught.
To answer that question, I don't like weed. For me, I don't like feeling hot. My body's naturally warm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it actually raises my body's temperature, which I'm not for.
Yeah, most men biologically they run hot. They run hot pretty hot.
Yes. So, but yeah, just that whole idea of freedom is really what it came down to. Like, that was the thing I was denied the most as a child, was freedom to be myself. And as an adult, I no longer let that happen. So it gets better.
No, boy, to you.
No, you go.
I refuse to go.
Because I'm noticing everyone has their own kind of interpretation.
And I don't want to hear yours.
Of what the thing is. I still got to decide. I still haven't really got to it. I'm getting the...
If you guys don't mind...
I'm
going to exercise the freedom right now. And we're going to go on a little bit of side tangent. Apparently the Transformers toys no longer make kids work for it.
What do you mean?
What?
So back in the day, when you had a Transformers toy, you had to read the instructions to figure out how to change it from its vehicle form.
You didn't know that?
There were instructions?
There were instructions, yes.
I had to figure that shit out. Oh my God.
I mean, I got to a point.
Where?
I got to a point where I could do the same thing, where I didn't need the instructions. I could just figure it out on instinct. But in a lot of the Transformers toys, the instructions came at the bottom of the box.
What the fuck? I literally, okay, so the Transformers toys that I got, even the fucking Megazords, they came in like their animal or like their car form.
Yeah.
I had to slowly open it to make sure I knew how to put it back together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I would fail at that.
My brother failed at that.
Oh my
failure.
God.
I remember my...
I'll send you to Jesus.
I will send you to Jesus. But I remember my brother, my dad got both me and him a Transformer. He ended up giving it to me because he gave up on trying to figure out how to work it. I was like, come on, it's not that hard. He's like, it's too much work. I'm like, you bastard. And apparently that attitude has carried into the next generation. Because now what's happening is the toys, literally the ones meant for babies, you push a button and it changes. They don't even make them, like, I've seen the baby ones before, like, from previous years. Like, yeah, they're simpler, but at least, you know, you had to pick them up, move a few things out, and that was it. There weren't a lot of moving pieces so that the child didn't get hurt. When did it happen that all you had to do was press a button? Like, as an adult, I understand, because there's expensive versions of that.
So, now, my question is, when you push the button, does the Transformer open and close like a gentle flower? Or does it just like, eh?
Pretty much that.
Because, in all honesty, if you were to press the button and it were to like open up like a flower. Exactly. I'd be like, holy shit. That's cool.
No, see, that does happen with some Transformers now. But those are expensive.
Yeah.
Those are like within $200 or $300, give or take.
Those are more collector's items.
So, I mean, some of them are more expensive. It just depends on... if they were based on a movie, and also how big and intricate.
I was going to say, like, I don't think it'd be more expensive.
At that but point. The thing is, but those are less toys at that point, and more collector's items.
Yeah, those are collector's items.
I'll be honest, the first Transformers movie, I saw, you know, how they transformed, and I was like, I'm not getting that toy.
Can I tell you something?
I don't know how they do it.
Can I tell you something? I have that toy.
How did it work?
It didn't work like it did in the movies. let me tell you something. I remember watching that trailer, and I was like, it looks like they're tearing themselves apart and putting themselves back together again.
Have you guys ever collected or seen those Gundam figurines?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where you have to like put it together yourself?
You know what? Okay. You just...
unlocked a memory.
You just opened a core memory that I had, that I have. And I'll go over that. In a little bit. That'll be part of my thing.
Cool.
But here's as a lifelong Transformers stan, I say this. if you can't figure out how to transform the Transformer, you don't get to have it. I'm sorry, you lost.
You can talk to your kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, dumbass.
Hey. No. You don't get to throw it against the wall. Throw it against the wall. See what happens. Do it. Fucking do it. Give me a reason.
And then they're like, paste vale. Paste
vale. But yeah, like, if you wanted a simple toy that you didn't have to do anything to, buy them.
Buy Play-Doh.
Buy them the G.I. Joe. Buy them a Play-Doh. Shit. If they can't figure out how to open a can, you might as well just, I don't know, sign them up for special ed and put them on the short bus. Buy them a helmet.
You don't want that. Trust me.
Just, oh, God.
But, I might as well go and make it my turn. First of all, I wanted to kind of add to what Joe was saying about responsibility, about being an adult. Like, mm-hmm. The thing is, yeah, you have more responsibility. But if you're a real adult, right? If you're a real man or a real woman, right? You know, you're not a child anymore.
Are you a real hermaphrodite?
Watch what you say. Watch those next few. I'm just kidding.
So the gays, I'm kidding. No. Trans people. Just kidding. I'm not here to hate on gay people. I know. But you know,
because I consider you people.
I did not say that. I did not say that. No, I didn't say it. It doesn't mean I don't agree. No. All right, we're done roasting the gays.
Yes, we are.
You know,
we're done roasting the alphabet people.
On this podcast, we roast everybody, so you're not special in that regard.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's what I was saying. So the more responsibility you have, right? Like, yeah, you know, it comes with more freedom, comes with more responsibility. But the thing is, like, when you no longer have to be told to do those things, and you decide for yourself to be responsible, it's so much more rewarding.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't think I've ever told this on the podcast. I might have told it a long time ago, but I didn't start washing my clothes until after high school. Not because I didn't want to. Not because literally my mom never like taught me. She's like she's like I'll do it for you. And by the time I was an adult, I was like, Mom, I'm an adult. Can I, like, I need to wash my own clothes. Like, I'll do it. Don't worry. And so that was one of the many baby steps towards being a responsible adult. And honestly, like, I don't live for washing my clothes, but like I actually do enjoy going down and putting them in the washing machine and all that. I miss my washing machine. It's broken. But the thing is, like, I can wash my clothes. I can listen to my music while I'm down there. I can do woodworking while I'm down there. So it's just like you learn to appreciate your own responsibility when you're responsible. You're about to roast me. I already know it. What do you want to say?
You say you like to go down.
Only when I get married.
I learned how to wash my clothes when I started masturbating.
To get rid of the evidence?
And I think it's my mom taught me how. And I think it's because she knew I started. And she was like, I'm not dealing with this shit. You're washing it, motherfucker. But, yeah. I don't know about, you know, appreciating the responsibility. But there is a certain level of pride in being responsible. Like, I didn't know how much I appreciated a clean fucking bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, until it wasn't.
Like, you
I clean my bathroom. Shut the fuck up.
I was just about to mention that indirectly.
No,
I was like,
don't. Yes, I do.
I was about to mention that indirectly. There's nothing like seeing your toilet and not seeing a ring there.
Oh, my God.
A ring?
A ring.
A brown ring.
Oh, God.
At the water level.
I've never.
It's disgusting.
I've never looked.
Well, no. Let me.
I will tell you, Guy and I, look at his face too. We never made it to that level of like, I won't.
Well,
fucking
yeah. Well, neither have I. The point is this. I've seen it. I've seen okay. that. You know, and usually in public restrooms. Because.
Okay, that's.
But the point true, is this. But the point is this. Like, you hear about this kind of stuff.
When you see it in somebody's home. In their home. That is when you're like, I didn't know I needed this until I didn't have it. No, Jesus Christ.
But that's one of those things where, like, you appreciate, and that's when, you know, you appreciate your responsibility. The fact that you can, you have a clean home, that you're well-groomed and all that. Basically, it's this, right? And it may not be this for everybody, but kind of the idea for me is, am I able to bring a girl over? If I can't, I'm not clean enough. Yeah. You know? Once again, I don't want to bring a girl over to my house and she see my poop ring, you know?
Not only that, but like drops on the floor.
Like exactly. Like food oil stains from food or from drinks on the floor.
Thank my roommate for that.
Dusty.
Ex-roommate.
Okay, I didn't.
What are you talking about? That's all you.
That's not me, dog.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We're not talking about this right now. So,
you want your opinion heard? Sit down.
Yeah, sit on your chair, fool.
Sit down.
But also, I'm talking. But it's like, you know, I don't want you know. If I, once again, bring a girl over as a guy, right? You know, I don't want her to inhale any sawdust, so I want to make sure the garage is clean, that all my furniture is clean. You know, things strewn about on the floor. Like, right now, we don't have a shoe shelf. We put our shoes at the bottom of the stairs. And I will be building a shoe shelf eventually so that we don't have to do that. But the point is, like, you want to be clean enough to bring your girlfriend over to, or even, you know, even beyond, because I know that some people here may not be into relationships and all that. My another goal of mine would be, can I present my home to my parents? That's another, you know, if it's not a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you know, your parents, right? Well, can my parents walk into my house and be like, yeah, you've taken care of yourself. You're a man, you know, all that. Or you're an adult, I should say. And, you know, that's kind of the goal of being responsible, to where you really are an adult, where your parents can be proud of you. You have a love interest that, you know, they're not ashamed to be with you. Or even your friends, you know, they're also not ashamed to be with you. And we help each other out, you know. And we kind of ran on Stefan, but honestly, we've all, you know, we all have our bad habits.
I've lived in a cesspool for 2 weeks, and at the end of that 2 weeks, I realized I never wanted to live in a cesspool again.
Yeah.
It was not a good 2 weeks for me.
But, no, that was a preface, okay? Responsibility to Joe Renz. Think about responsibility, you know? Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be a negative thing. I'm just
saying that it's not. I wasn't responsible. I was just building on it.
Yeah.
No, it was definitely not. I didn't take it as a negative, but
Like,
yeah. If you want more freedom, you're gonna have to come more responsibility. But you ever worked a full week, then on that weekend, you do nothing. You appreciate that nothing more than if you did nothing throughout the week.
Yeah.
You know,
I can attest.
We were spoiled during the lockdown because I didn't have to do anything. You know. I mean, I worked on music and all that for sure, but like
I wasn't. I got a job.
And I was working.
I was working. Look, like
a large number of people.
6 days a week, I was working.
My tax professional told me to milk it for all it's worth, and I did just that.
Anyway, point is, fine. I was pampered. You know, a huge chunk of the nation was pretty pampered. You know, because of the point where, like, you don't want to go back to work, but also, but the thing is, like.
Okay. Were they pampered? A lot of them complained, but did a lot of people get the benefits?
I did,
dude.
So
a lot of people that I talked to on my work, they got like the shit handed to them.
Well,
oh my god!
I'm sorry, but that wasn't my case.
Yeah, because I heard. I know you were locked out for a little bit.
Yeah, but when the money came, it was smooth sailing from there.
Okay, yeah, because I've heard stories that. Of people not getting the unemployment, which I was like, it was pretty easy for me to get it.
Yeah.
And then you caught it after the whole thing. But yeah, just lots of people, even the people who got it, complained that it wasn't enough, which
I was very privileged in that because like my rent was only $240 at my parents' house. So I was very, very privileged. But once again, I was, you know, I was absolved of most responsibility. And I lived a very sedentary life. And I could have used that time to exercise. I could have, well, not woodworking because I was still living at my parents' house. But like the last month of the lockdown for me, before going back to work, I moved into my new place. And I was like, yo, I can just do woodworking all day and no one can stop me except for my neighbor. But she didn't really stop me. But yeah, so just, I guess, you want freedom? Prove that you can have that freedom. That said, as a kid, I wanted freedom, right? There's times where, like, I wanted to go to the beach just by myself and chill. But, you know, I can't because I didn't get to drive until after high school. I was like, it was like 2014 that I learned how to drive. And it's kind of cool. Like, if I want to go to the beach and just go to the beach and just play the uke for a couple hours, who's going to stop me? You? You know? Who? Who's going to stop me?
The police. Not
I mean, they can try. You know?
Yeah. You know what's funny is in regards to that, you know you're an adult when, like, you kind of have, like, a plan of, like, what would happen if you become homeless. Right? At least yeah. I had that thought.
Yeah, me too, actually. Right? Yeah.
Like, if let's say, like, shit isn't working out and I leave, like, I actually did kind of made a plan of, like, you know what? I know how I can go homeless.
Well, the thing is, like...
Because, like, the awesome thing, like I said, is, like, one, I have my own car. Yeah. And also, it's all paid for. It's mine.
Yeah.
So, I can live in there.
Yeah.
And then, plus, like... Even though my car is, like, a box shape...
Yeah.
You guys have been inside. It looks like it's small, but it actually does have a lot of room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For shit.
So, to be honest, even in my car... You see my car. I can actually put down the back seats so that, like, I have access to the trunk.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes, like, a bed in case,
yeah,
know, anything.
But, like, you saw, happens, too, like, the seats in the back can be put down as well.
This is why I want a van. Take out the back seats of the van, and then I put them back, a little mattress there. Because even now, I still want a van because...
Could you imagine getting pulled over and they're like, can we look in the back? And they just see, like, a small little mattress with like a single blanket. What's going on here? I sleep here. Why is the mattress so small? I don't need a lot of room. Sir, we're going to have to take you to the station. Why?
Yeah, but I hate waking up early in the morning. I have to wake up at 5 in the morning to get to work. So, right. And then, so my idea is, like, I want a van because if I'm out late the night before, I can just drive my van to, like, near work, sleep, wake up, and then just go to work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The only downside would be, like, I can't do my morning poop, but it's okay.
Just the way you say that, morning poop.
Morning poop. Morning fudge. But the thing is, like, you know, I've always wanted to have freedom, you know, and it's like I have the freedom to grow my hair long, I have the freedom to go wherever I want, you know. So it's very very basic, once again, very very much like Sam's, but also, and this is more of a. You know, this is less child wanting to be, like, wanting things as an adult, like, getting as an adult. But when I was starting to collect instruments, you know, I would hear and read about instruments that are really cool, and I don't have them. And for example, right, as a pan flute player, what I've always wanted was a toyo, which is, like, a bass pan flute, a really big one, you know, usually about 4 feet long. I didn't get that till 2018, but I've been wanting it since I was a teenager, since, you know, the late 2000s. You know, early 2010s, and it's just like there's instruments I've always wanted. Now that I'm an adult and can buy things, finding my hands on. For example, all throughout high school, I've always wanted a ukulele. You know, and I finally was able to buy one with FAFSA money, which is probably not the best use of it, but you know, I had charango and all that. But then I heard that there's, like, armadillo charangos, and I finally got one several years later. So it's just there's different instruments I'm slowly collecting that I've always wanted. Like, I've always wanted a pair of congas, and I have them. But I've wanted them since I was in high school. So, you know, that one's a little more personal. But, like, it's like, and now that I live in my own place, if I wanted to build an instrument that I really want, I can totally do it. You know? So, yeah. Yeah.
You good?
Yeah,
now?
I know. You left a pipe at my house.
Huh?
You left a pipe at my house. Bastard.
What pipe?
One of the pipes to make a Samponia.
One of them?
Yeah, I think it's a small. It's a small one.
Oh yeah, you can throw that away. I don't need it anymore.
Bastard! No, I'm just kidding.
What do you can do about it?
Go ahead, key of the horn.
Gross.
Go.
Key of thine horny toad sluts.
Sound effect. There we go. I needed to move it. That's why I said sound effect.
Oh. Go ahead. I didn't
help at all. Gundams.
Okay, so I'm gonna address the Gundam thing first, and then I'll go into my little thing. I've always loved Gundams, like from the moment I saw those little tiny figures. They're different figurines, I know, but the tiny ones, mm-hmm. Those ones are like my favorite. The one that I got was
Gundam SD. I remember
Gundam SD.
Yeah, those are the small
Superior
ones.
Defenders. No, those were after.
Those were after?
Yeah, those came after as sort of like a homage to them. I remember the show. I loved the show. Never found one of them. Steve probably has it somewhere. But no, as a kid, I've always wanted to... Oh, there we go. Quit now moving on. All right.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I've always been akin to the arts. Music is obviously an art, mm-hmm. but also like cooking and painting and drawing. Back then, I always used to love to paint and draw. Then when I saw the Gundams that you were actually able to make your own.
Like interchangeable pieces or?
No, like...
sculpting?
There was a Gundam in the front, mm-hmm. and then they gave you the pieces to actually build, and you had to actually go and find the paints yourself and paint them.
Oh, okay.
There were some that were simple, you know, that just cheap plastic, you know, put them together. You would paint them and that'd be it. But there were other ones that were so intricate that the hands would actually move. You were actually able to do things with them, position them however you wanted. And I've always wanted one, you know. I remember Christmas, I was like, I want that. You know, I want to put the work in to build one and then to paint it. Because that's a hobby that a lot that I didn't know was pretty big.
Yeah.
And not only that, but people actually buying like little pieces of characters and just painting them. That's a big hobby.
Yeah, a lot of my nerd friends actually love doing that.
Well, not only that, but also there's like YouTube videos on it.
Mm-hmm.
People love watching that shit.
Yes, it's actually pretty cool. And I never got the chance to get that. I got the figurines, which was cool. My very first figurine we got Easter. But it was just something I always wanted. Now as an adult, I can buy it, but I just never really got the chance to, you know, just because we're doing adult stuff, which. But yeah, no, just to the Gundam thing. Loved the Gundams. Never watched the shows. The one show that I did watch had nudity.
Not a real fan.
Which was really, yeah.
me neither, but.
But, okay, so going off the whole topic, thinking about it, and I have thought about it, one thing that I think I've always wanted as a child that I actually got a taste of and then wasn't able to get until I was actually an adult. And then by small doses was the freedom to decide. To make my own decisions.
I I think there's a theme.
And
yeah, exactly.
And when I say make my own decisions, I mean, you know, choosing what to do, choosing how to respond, even the simple answer. At times, you know, I couldn't give the answer that I wanted. And, God, no more. No more burritos.
Yeah.
So I got a taste of that decision, decision making, back, I want to say, around 11 years old. Maybe 12. My dad was a big soccer and basketball fan.
Oh, this.
And he put us in a club, a soccer club. And we played for about what seemed like an eternity. I think it was actually like 4 years, right? 4 years?
I don't remember. Years? I just know. I just feel like it was like most of my childhood.
Yeah. And, you know, I played, I think, I never played offense. Yeah. I know I played two positions, which was defense and then goalie. But my dad took it so seriously that he would tell us what we were doing wrong. And by tell us, I mean like yell at us and basically, I guess, condemning us. In a sense, I don't. In Spanish, riñendo is a word that they use, especially when someone's when someone's like, I guess, talking down to you and like, you know, pointing the finger and saying all these things that you're doing wrong. I don't know the word for it in English, but yeah, he would always, after every practice that he would attend, after every time he'd pick us up, we always heard it. You know, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. I don't understand why this is so hard for you guys to do. You know, to the point where, you know, if he wasn't there that day, we were relieved. You know, if we knew he was picking us up, you know, we meant to, at least myself, I mentally braced for it. You know,
I sympathize.
Yeah, and there were times where we got in a car accident. And I thanked God that we got in a car accident because he stopped yelling at us. And was like, are you guys okay and this and that? He didn't cause the accident. Someone rear-ended us. But
I think he was yelling at us too.
Yeah, as he was yelling at us.
Oh my God.
But after that he stopped and, you know, made sure we were okay and we didn't hear anything else. You know, that was, for us, that was a good day. You know, and I think we were in the last home stretch and I think we did particularly bad at a practice and he was just yelling and I want to say screaming at us. And then, you know, we got inside the house and he kept piling on. And then the words he said, I'll never forget, because this is a core memory. A memory I vividly remember. He's like, you know what, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Do you want to play soccer?
What did we both say?
I want to, the speed of that response was instantaneous. He's like, I'm gonna give you guys a decision. Do you want to play soccer? No.
Absolutely not.
As quickly as he asked, we said no. And he stood there in disbelief.
Not angry anymore.
Not angry. In disbelief. Because he thought that we were passionate about the game.
Did he though?
Yes.
Really?
Because he was expecting us to say, you know, yes, we still want to play. Otherwise, he wouldn't have asked that question.
I wouldn't say,
but
I wouldn't exactly say passionate, but like.
Guys, I have a problem.
What?
Sorry, go ahead.
He thought that we liked the game and that we were going to continue.
Yeah, but not passionate.
Well,
okay.
No, at that point, he realized he gave us an out, and we took it. He was baffled. He said, "You guys don't want to play anymore?" And we said, "No,
fuck no." No, you said no, but in your heart, you said, "Fuck no."
We were relieved at that point.
No, I know.
That's there's a point of like, no, fuck that. There's like a no. No, please.
Please. No more.
Please, God, no.
And so my mom came home. He went in the room. He didn't know what to do. And my mom came home and we told her what happened. And she was like, you guys said no? Mm-hmm. And we said, yep, we said no. We don't want to play anymore. And he gave us the decision. And we said no. And she just looked at us and then went in the room. And yeah, you know, it was true. Our dad didn't know what to do. It was like,
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
So that made him a little sad, you know?
Yeah.
Because he loved the game, but at the same time, we couldn't take it anymore.
Well,
that was the first taste of actually making
a decision.
A decision, which I'll be honest with, we lived our lives a little differently than a lot of you guys. But I think as Latinos, the cultures is about the same. So we might have. Dealt with the same thing, but even especially if we were asked the question, even the way we responded, we had to respond
calculated.
Not even calculated. We had to say something that my dad would accept or my dad would like.
That's what calculated
means. Like even in terms of telling the truth, I remember being little and at him asking something and actually, you know, telling him a God honest truth, and he wouldn't accept that. And what he did accept was an answer that he wanted to hear.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's the definition of calculated.
And so I think that's something that as a child, I couldn't wait to do as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Which now I do. You know, as soon as I used to dance. My brother and I used to both dance together. As soon as I turned 18, I told my dad I'm quitting. And I used to argue with him a lot during those rehearsals. And then also, you know, telling him I don't want to do it anymore. And literally, you know, pointing some things out that, you know, in retrospect, it would make sense. But because it's something that he wanted, was not willing to compromise at all. Like, for example, I would say I wasn't the best student in high school. And part of that reason was, you know, because of dance. Because it was something that he wanted, he pushed it on us. Now, I'm not saying that I shouldn't have worked harder, mind you. But he would, as punishment, he would take away everything but that. Which in reality,
it was the same as nothing.
Yeah. So, as soon as, and you know, he also gave me an out. When you're 18, you don't have to do this anymore. Okay, good. Because 18, as soon as I turn 18, I'm done with this. You know, and sure enough, as soon as I turned 18, the very first decision I made, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, it's something that I always used to love to do. But yeah, on a part, that's a little on the, I guess, more serious side. Mm. On the more on the brighter side, you know, there's things that as a kid generally lots of kids think about, you know, if I was older, you know, I'd be able to do this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And one thing was buy my own shit.
Yeah.
You know, making my own money, being able to go out. I'll tell you, looking, there's things I miss about being a kid. Yeah. You know, free shit.
Yeah.
What I don't miss is, like, I think a couple of you pointed out, asking to go out.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that shit.
You know, because of my grades, I was never able to go out. Mm-hmm. And because I am who I am, like, the times I would be able to go out, I would fuck that up.
Yeah.
You know, over the, over some simple stuff, which, as a person, you know, a kid has to accept the consequences, but there's times to be lenient.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when that was not like that. So, like, I could count how many places I've been invited to and how many times I've actually gone with just one hand.
Yeah.
In the span of, like, 18 years. And now, after those 18 years, I can't even count the places I've been with both hands and both feet. Mm-hmm. You know, in a sense, it's that freedom, and it's the freedom to go out, but at the same time, I think it's just the decisions to be able to make on your own without you know, your parents behind you, you know, you making your own mistakes.
Just freedom in general. It's really what it is.
But yeah, God, I'm trying to think. Apart from the ironic thing of having the trumpet that I have now that I wanted back in high school, I'm trying to think of what I've actually wanted as a kid, you know, just material possessions, you know. I was never really one to want anything material. Mm-hmm. You know, my brother, on the other hand, you'd see his list and fucking games.
Remember, that's a coping mechanism at that point.
Yeah. Games. Mostly just games.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, for Christmas, they'd ask us what we want, or, like, to write a list. Fuck. World peace. Snow. You know, I to be honest, I'd say the freedom to make your own choices was something that, as a kid, I've always craved.
Yeah.
I mean, material wise, I mean, I could say trumpets because I was into that.
Yeah.
Music. You know what I've always wanted as a kid?
No.
I always used to go. You remember the Beba's restaurant?
Yeah.
It's a Bolivian restaurant. They always had huge ass kitchenware hanging on the walls, the wooden kitchenware. Mm-hmm. Always wanted that. I was like, I want that for me in my house somewhere as like a decoration. Or like even to try to eat something. I was like, that seems like the food would taste good on that. So that, I guess that's something, you know, kind of kid-ish.
Did you get it?
No. Zampoñas, you know, quenas, charangos. The musical instruments, I will say, that was cool to get.
I was so excited when I got my first bombo. It's literally just a bass drum from a drum kit.
Beady, beady, bombo.
And I just
a beady.
I gave it
a beady.
I took the plastic drum heads from the bass drum. And then I made my own drum heads out of calf hide, and you know how like bombos have like still have the fur on it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I got that, and I was like, and I hit it. I was like, oh, It sounds just like the real thing.
Oh, there's also one thing. There was, as a kid, there's a Spider-Man toy. It changes into a bat. I don't know if you guys have ever seen
it. What the fuck?
Spider-Bat?
It's a spider. It's a toy. It's a transforming toy. They had, like, the Hulk changed into a tank.
I know what you're talking about.
And then for some reason, Spider-Man turned into a bat. It didn't make sense, but it looked cool. And that was something that I put on the list for Christmas. I never got. And I remember there was this one kid that, like, had it. He's like, I got it. And this is, I'm like, can I see it? No. I'm like, you bastard. But it was just a small little tidbit that, you know, I wanted. And then I was like, was this toy real? It is real.
It is real.
He was blue. Shut up. He was blue. And turned into a bat. I don't know why.
Because he was gay.
Bats are gay?
Maybe. I don't know.
They're non-binary.
I could say something really bad about Batman, but I'm not going to.
Maybe that's why we don't see his parents. The true story.
Oh, my. Anyways.
But anyways, I guess that's all. Because I wasn't very materialistic. Mm-hmm. I guess it was just more.
It was more on a personal level, on a psychological level, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
I would say for all of us, like, the reason why, at least, like, for me, I listed video games is because, like, you know, kids are materialistic little shits.
Yeah.
Right? You're no exception to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but then, like, even though we all talked about, like, the material things, we also talked about making our own decisions.
Yeah, we talked about.
And knowing that since it's our own decision, it's like, you know.
It's an important thing.
Yeah. Even if it leads to failure, like, it's our failure. Mm-hmm. It's no one else's.
Exactly. And that was part of the thing that I sympathize, because I completely sympathize. And we'll probably talk about this after this episode is over, but I completely sympathize with your guys' whole soccer experience, like, to an even greater degree than you probably realize. But I think this is a good place to wrap up.
Yes. So this is the Wahlburgers podcast. Thank you for coming.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
This is Jordan the Chemist. Follow Wahlburgers, Wi-Fi Breakers on Instagram. There's also the link tree, and then also our Anchor. Or, again, you can leave comments.
Comments, likes, Facebook messages, video messages, voice messages, ritual sacrifices. We don't care.
Yeah, and then Instagram is joran_229.
But for sacrifices, please, no virgins. We don't know what to do with them.
I do.
I do. Sam, please.
Put them to work.
Gross.
That's it.
You sacrifice them.
Go ahead.
So this is Beijing Rice. You can follow me at Cali Flute Man on Instagram and TikTok. You can subscribe to the Flute Man YouTube channel, which has not been active for a long time. And also, follow Wi-Fi Breakers. Then we're on comment on Anchor. Tell me how much you love me. You know.
Tell me that you love me.
Yeah. I need some more of that love. No, but let's see. Am I missing anything? Oh, also follow The Tree Butcher on Instagram. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so that's me. I'm Beijing Rice.
Ukrainian bomb shelter. Anyways.
God.
No, it looks different.
I guess I'll go next. This is Stefan Skins. You can follow me at step.roro on Instagram. And like they mentioned before, you can also follow Wall5 Breakers on Instagram as well. I'm going to attempt to stream tonight. On Twitch. You can follow me at skins_thewallbreaker. I'm going to be trying to play Elden Ring.
Nice.
Well, by the time you guys hear this.
Who knows? Oh, true. Fair enough.
This is SteelSam619. That's my Instagram handle and my TikTok handle. You can follow me at Gila Commando on Twitch. And please follow Wi-Fi Breakers on Instagram. And yeah. Senor?
Last one. This is Gia of the Horn. Thank you for listening, you know. Let you learn a little bit more about us as people. But yeah, to follow my Instagram at GKT Music. Again, GKT music, and hopefully we'll come up with some more content for you guys to enjoy and possibly relate to, laugh at, mm-hmm. cry with us, you know, stuff like that.
And one more thing before we go, we just want to give a quick shout out to the Ukraine. We don't agree with what Russia's doing right now, and we're actively following the situation.
Yes, and we hope that everyone is okay, and we're with you.
And if you're, and for those that perished at Snake Island, you guys are my new fucking heroes. And yeah, anyway.
All right, one, two, three, clap check.
Peace out.